This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, July 25th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Ag spending amendments to be decided tomorrow. CBO estimates price of reference price increase, and White House criticizes Russia. Fate of ag spending amendments to be decided. The House Rules Committee has scheduled a meeting for tomorrow to decide which proposed amendments to the fiscal 24 agriculture spending will get debated on the House floor. As of yesterday, more than 160 amendments to the bill have been filed. They include several proposals seeking deeper cuts in USDA funding or to SNAP and other farm bill programs. Among the latest amendments are proposals to tighten SNAP work requirements and to roll back an increase in benefits provided by the 2021 update to the Thrifty Food Plan, a model of consumer food costs. You can check out our coverage. The White House also issued a veto threat yesterday on the ag spending bill. CBO puts price tag on reference price increase. Lawmakers now have a better idea of the potential price tag for increasing commodity program reference prices in an upcoming farm bill. A 10% increase would cost $24 billion over 10 years, that according to a House aide familiar with the estimate. Now keep in mind, if unchanged, commodity programs are currently projected to cost $69 billion over 10 years. The staffer says the cost would go up exponentially with higher increases in the reference price level. A 20% increase would cost well over twice as much as a 10% increase. Why it matters? Well, more targeted changes to reference prices or increases in the reference price escalator for the price loss coverage program would cost less than an across-the-board increase. Under current law, the reference price for a commodity can rise as much as 15%, that depending on recent increases in market prices. Increasing that 15% limit would be more likely to trigger PLC payments in future years. Senate to consider foreign land ownership amendment to NDAA. The Senate will vote this afternoon on whether to approve an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act restricting foreign investors affiliated with the People's Republic of China, the Russian Federation, the Islamic Republic of Iran, or the Democratic People's Republic of Korea from purchasing U.S. land. The amendment is based on a bill introduced by Senators Mike Rounds of South Dakota and John Tester of Montana in February that would expand the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S.'s authority to block land purchases by people affiliated with foreign adversaries. This version, however, excludes U.S. citizens and aliens lawfully admitted for permanent residence from the restrictions. Now take note, the vote on the amendment provides an important indicator of where members of the Senate stand on this issue. One key person to watch will be Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, who is sponsoring a separate bill to expand CFA's authority over foreign land purchases. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate of Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Among Edge's top priorities is milk pricing reform. Over its long history, the federal order system has aimed to serve farmers by ensuring the orderly marketing of fluid milk. But changing production and consumption patterns are rendering the system ineffective. Edge envisions changes that create flexibility, promote fairness, and strengthen the relationship between farmers and processors.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. White House hits Russian attacks. The White House urged the Kremlin to rejoin the Black Sea Grain Initiative immediately, with Biden administration spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre saying yesterday that Russia's decision to suspend participation in the agreement has, quote, caused serious volatility to food prices, which will hurt impoverished and hard-hit areas of the world the most. We continue to be concerned that the Russian military may expand their targeting of Ukrainian grain facilities to include attacks against civilian ships in the Black Sea, she said. Russia attacked grain exporting ports in Odessa last week and said it would consider Black Sea vessels as supporters of Ukraine. They have destroyed port infrastructure and tens of thousands of tons of grain that could have fed hungry people around the world, Jean-Pierre said. EPA's new herbicide strategy greeted with cautious optimism. Pesticide manufacturers and a leading environmental group reacted positively to EPA's latest effort to address its endangered species problem. A proposed strategy released yesterday tries to come up with a set of common conservation practices that can be used to mitigate the impacts of herbicides. We appreciate EPA's efforts to resolve the challenges of ESA review of pestiside registration decisions, CropLife America said in a statement. We are reviewing the documents that were published today and will be submitting comments. CLA will continue to advocate for a process that works for all interested stakeholders. The Center for Biological Diversity, which has been active in lawsuits seeking to force the EPA to conduct interagency consultations with federal wildlife agencies, reserved judgment on the eventual impact of the document. However, scientist Nathan Donnelly said the group was pleased that EPA is trying to, quote, think outside the box. Bayer adjusts earnings downward due to glyphosate sales. A significant further decline in sales of glyphosate-based products caused the Bayer Group to take a $2.8 billion write-down on glyphosate and adjust earnings downward for the year. The change will result in a second quarter loss of about $2.2 billion, the company said yesterday. Bayer said it now anticipates sales of between $53.7 billion and $54.8 billion for the calendar year, down from a previous estimated range of $56.4 to $57.5 billion. Further price declines and lower volumes due to channel destocking, especially for glyphosate-based products, as well as adverse weather conditions, have increased pressure on pricing, the company said. Brazil is expected to produce a bumper crop of corn this year, and the country's main harvest, the Safrinha, is now 47% harvested despite delays in some areas. That's according to the consulting firm Agroal. The biggest harvest gains over the past week were in the center-west states of Mato Grosso and Goiás. The center-south states, such as Paraná and Mato Grosso do Sul, the harvest has not yet taken off due to the combination of late planting and high grain moisture caused by rain or low temperatures in July, says Agroal. The firm is predicting Brazil will produce a total of 132.2 million metric tons of corn this year in all three of its harvest, while USDA is predicting 129 million tons. Well, here's today's He Said It. I think they're going to work together. This task force and the members of the committee are going to work together to come up with a Democratic position. I don't think there's anything nefarious going on. I think it's just Hakeem Jeffries wants a bill. In order to get a bill, he has to be bipartisan. In order to get Democrats on board, he's got to have liberal members, the Black Caucus, on board. House Ag Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson yesterday when asked about the Democratic Farm Bill Task Force. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, July 25th. Brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.